Opportunity this morning. Welcome the members of Union Church and any visitors that we have. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. You know, this place that we've come today, you know, as I drove up here, you know, I passed a lot of churches. Some are bigger. Some of them are really pretty on the outside. And as I looked at those churches, and I drove up to the Union Church, and don't get me wrong, we have a beautiful building. But I started to think about what Jesus said about the Apostle John the Baptist. You know, he begged the question over there in Matthew. He says, what did you come out to see? And he goes on to talk about a man in soft raiment. That's somebody from the king's house. You know, John came in camel hair. But he said, what for you came out to see? You know, that's a good question to ask ourselves every time we step into his church. What did you come to see today? Did you come to see a good-looking guy in a suit make a speech that'll make you feel good? No, I don't think y'all came here to see me today. I said that wrong. I realize how that come out now. But I hope y'all didn't come to see me. I hope y'all come to see. What did he say? He says, yeah, you came to see a prophet when he talked about John the Baptist. Came to hear the Word of God. The Word of God. The good news. The gospel. We came to worship our Lord and Savior. That's what we came to see today. That should be our focus always. Our focus always should be our Lord and Savior every time we step forth in this church. And I tell you this, old Satan will do everything he can to remove us from our purpose when we gather in this house. But I believe with all my heart that I stand amongst the people that will not bend to the will of Satan. I believe I stand amongst the people that will stand and fight with me. With that said, the thoughts that I have on my mind this morning come from 1 Samuel 17. And we'll find here where Brother David has said, I'll go and fight. That old Philistine Goliath, he ain't nothing compared to my God. My God that has already delivered me from the bear and the lion and the wolf, he'll do the same with this old Philistine. You know, and Saul thought he was going to give David some help. We go to 1 Samuel 17, 38. And this is after Saul has heard from David and heard the report of David that they would go and fight. Saul is going to give David a little help. Verse 38 says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know, Saul wanted to give David some armor, give him his own armor. You know, that's something for a king to give somebody he just met, somebody he didn't even know, his own armor. That was great honor. But as David put it on, you know, it just didn't fit. That old helmet of brass, you know, it didn't fit David. That kind of armor isn't the kind of armor he needed. He didn't need any armor of that kind of this world to go fight. See, God was going to fight with him. God was going to fight for him. David had already mentioned that all he needed was God. He didn't need that old armor of this world. I tell you, we run into danger when we try to fight our battles with the armor of this old world. Our Lord has given us better armor. Better armor than that. We don't need the armor of this world. I want to show you something this morning. If we turn to Isaiah 59. We're going to find a prophecy of our Lord and Savior here in Isaiah. And you could preach total depravity and so many things from this verse. But in Isaiah 59, in verse 15, it talks about the state of the nation of Israel. It says, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." Those that tried to do good in this nation, they made themselves a prey. They were laughed at. They were ridiculed. They were persecuted. Those that were trying to do right. Sounds familiar. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. That's a sad state of a nation when there's no judgment. And I believe that's righteous judgment. Good judgment. There was no good judgment in the land. No one that could judge justly. Verse 16, he says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him." And there's a whole sermon that could be preached on the arm of God. But you just know he's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, "His arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." I want you to know, when it came to our salvation, we were totally depraved. There was not one of us that could stand just before God. This Bible tells me there was not one righteous, no, not one. Our own righteousness would have never redeemed us, never saved us. There was none left. So God sent a man. He sent his own man, his own right arm, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we come to serve this day. And he wrought salvation for his people. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Now I want you to notice in verse 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Is that familiar to anybody else? Have y'all ever read that in comparison with another verse? Here it's talking about the armor. This arm, this man that God chose that wrought salvation for his people. It's talking about his armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Where have I heard that before? Where have I seen that? If we turn to Ephesians 6. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Brethren, if you're looking for strength this morning, you won't find him in this old world. You need to go find it in our Lord. That's our strength. That's our shield. "And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about." You know, back there, it says he girded his loins, didn't it? We have an example. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He girded his loins and he came and procured salvation for his people. It says here we're supposed to have our loins girt too about with truth. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." There it is. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you see that the same armor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's given to you. This is what we're supposed to use to fight the wiles of the devil. We're not supposed to depend on our own wisdom and our own righteousness, but on His. When the devil accuses us, when he says, you're not one of His, you're not enough, you're not worthy. I tell you what, if we were depend on our own righteousness, we are not worthy. But I tell you, He's imputed His own righteousness to us. And because He's indwelled us with His own righteousness, He has made us worthy that we might withstand the devil when he accuses us. You know, these verses tell me something else too. You go back over there and look at Saul and David. Now back there when Saul was trying to give David his armor and everything like that, everything was hunky-dory, wasn't it? Saul loved David. David loved Saul. What happened? Well, Saul got jealous. He got prideful. David was a great man. He was brought up. So the devil uses that every time. Pride and jealousy. Oh, he works so subtly. And he drives wedges between brothers. But here we see, and he makes them believe that they're one another's enemies. This verse tells me right here, identifies our enemy. Who are we fighting against? It says in verse 11 that we've put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's who we're supposed to be standing against. We're not wrestling against each other within the church. We're wrestling against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. On down the verse, it says that above all, taking the shield of faith, whether you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil wants us to believe that we're each other's enemy. He's our enemy. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given His armor to fight us. We're not supposed to be using the things of this world to fight. We're not supposed to be using anger. We're not supposed to be using bitterness, unforgiveness. That's not the armor of our God. The armor of God is of faith. It's a gospel of peace. Brethren, I encourage every one of us in this church, as we go through life, as we stand together, let's stand together and fight against the wiles of the devil. That's everyone's part here. Let's notice his ways. Let's notice what he's trying to do. Will you help me? Will you help me fight? Will you help me stand against him? Because it takes all of us. It takes all of us together. I thank you for your good attention this morning.